All right, well, buckle up. We'll see what the Lord does this morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17 is the account of David and Goliath. It's a passage I'm pretty sure every one of you knows. It's kind of one of those stories, I think, whether you're a believer or a heathen, you know about it. But I want to give you just a little bit of background just so you know what's going on. The army of Israel has come, and the army of the Philistines has come, and they gather on two kind of mountains, and there's a valley in between the two mountains, and they're preparing to go to war. They're preparing to attack. Both armies are taking their stance, and then this mountain of a man steps into the valley. Verse 4 says that he was 9'9". That's a big boy. And his proposal is simple. You send your warrior, and him and I will fight, and we will fight on behalf of our respective armies. The loser's army will become slave to the victor's. Well, none of the men of Israel were interested in such a match, and I can't blame them. At 9'9", you wouldn't even look him in the face. You'd kind of look him right in the belly button. I mean, you got to picture just how big this guy is. Israel is starting to cower. And then along comes our hero, David. Now, some say he was a boy, some say he was just past a boy. The truth is, we don't know his age. The Bible never tells us. But at this point in his life, we know this. He was too young to enter the military because he wasn't in the army with his brothers. So probably he was somewhere in his teenage years. That would be the most logical guess. And as he comes to bring some food to his brothers, he hears this heathen in the valley. And he's listening to this challenge, which frankly is nothing more than a veiled threat. And he's surprised that no one in Israel is willing to accept this challenge. Pardon me. In fact, he's so surprised that he starts talking kind of loud. You know how people, when they get arrogant, they start talking loud? He started talking pretty loud. So loud, in fact, it isn't long before King Saul gets word of this boy's talking. And so Saul sends for him. Saul's starting to think, oh, cool. Somebody's going to take care of this. But when David arrives and Saul sees him, well, he almost immediately dismisses him. I mean, he's just a kid, right? You know the type, right? The cocky teenager, right? All talk. Oh, we got this. We're going to take it. It's like, you know, go sit down. Let's pick up in verse 33 of 1 Samuel 17. And Saul replied to David, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Let's pray. Father, help me today to share your word with your people. Father, help me to strengthen them and encourage them. I pray, Father, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear today, that we might know what your Spirit's saying to your church. Hallelujah. What I need to share with you today, and it is a need, I need to help you understand the battles that you're facing today, and I know many of you are facing battles. The troubles you're facing today, I need you to understand that these are your lions and your bears. Lions and bears always precede Goliath. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's simple. See, David would have to face the lion, and he would have to face the bear, so he would be prepared to face Goliath. It would be unreasonable to drop him into the valley with Goliath without some sort of preparation. I ponder on David's lion and his bear, and I just have to ask you, what do you think? What do you feel is more fierce? A hungry lion? Or a mama bear, maybe? An animal who can't reason? An animal who doesn't understand fear? Or a man who understands both fear and loss? What would you rather face? For me, I think I'd rather take the man. I don't care if he is 9'9". A bear on his, that's easy, 9 foot. Some years ago, I was with my brother, and I tease him because I tease him that he lives in Hooterville. And so we went over to the hardware store / grocery store / gun store because he was looking for a handgun. See, in the woods where he lives and where he does a lot of stuff, there's a lot of bears out there. And he thought it would be prudent to have some sort of protection while he was out there. And so we're in the shop, and the man behind the counter asked him what he was going to use the gun for, and Jasper said, "Well, I want something for bears." And he was looking at a .357 Magnum. Now, that's a pretty big gun. The old timer, he just looked at my brother, shook his head, and said, "Son, if you shoot him with that, all you're going to do is make him mad." I have to tell you, that got my attention. See me, I think I'll take Goliath over the bear any day. Anyway, one of the reoccurring themes in the messages the Lord has been giving me for you, that we've been hearing over these last couple of years, has been a theme of pop quizzes. And you know what a pop quiz is. It's not the final. There's not a lot of weight on it, but it is brought to you to show where your deficiencies lie, right? You take the pop quiz, and I mean, you know the feeling. Okay, everybody, take out a sheet of paper. Oh no, because I know I don't know this stuff. I've been talking a good game. See, I can fake it, right? The old fake it till you make it. I can fake it, but not on a pop quiz. You can't. Right, because it's just brought out. COVID, I told you at the time, was a pop quiz. Everybody in the church was talking a good game. Ain't nothing going to come near me. Then this virus appeared, and you know what? People got quiet. In fact, they got real quiet. It was a time that required genuine faith, a reality of faith. And everyone's faith was exposed. Those with a genuine faith did find peace in a real storm, in the eye of that storm. And those without a genuine faith found fear creeping in and knocking at the door all the time. Now, if you found yourself fearful, I'm not picking on you. It's a pop quiz. It shows you what's there. What I'm saying is, when COVID appeared, what you saw was your lion appear and begin to bare his teeth and growl, and the back of his mane started to come up. It produces something in you. When the bear stands on his back legs and lifts his paws up, you start to realize he's not just playing. It was a time that revealed areas of weakness in our life, and it prepared people for what would come next. Today, I'm just telling you, you can believe it, you cannot believe it. I'm okay either way. I just want you to know we are in an arena. We're in a pop quiz that is surrounding finances. That's what's happening right now. And we are early on the curve of that test. Everybody thinks we're getting close to the end, and that's where mistakes happen. And I just want you to know, it will once again reveal hearts. It will reveal where your faith is. It will reveal where you're talking a good game and where you're actually applying your faith in your daily life. See, there's a difference than between talking a good game and walking a walk. David was a man, a boy even, of faith. He lived a life of faith. And like all men, like all people of faith, that begins with some pop quizzes. The lion and the bear would prepare him for a final exam. A battle that would come sometime later in a valley between Succoth and Azekah. A battle where he would face his giant. Now, this wasn't going to be the last final David would take, right? You don't go to college and take one final. But this would be one of the important ones. And each of his, as you go through his life, each of his final exams would be preceded by some pop quizzes, preparing him for the battle that's ahead. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. That's 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13 from the Message. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes this: being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That day's not yet. That means he's still carrying it on to completion. I want you to understand something, friends. God intends to complete the work that he's begun in you. He intends on it. It's because he has a plan for your life. You were born for this very moment in time. It's hard maybe to get your head around, but it's true. And if you're to complete the work that he has intended for you to complete, then you are going to have to be prepared. That shouldn't come as a surprise either. This week in the men's meeting, we were talking about something called experiential knowledge. Here's what that means. I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. See, I can teach you how to use the sword. I can teach you better stances with the sword. I can teach you how to face your lion. But I can't face your lion for you. I can stand with you as you face your bear, but you will face your bear alone. You will stand with God, you will stand with your brothers and sisters, but you will face him. See, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. To understand these things, you often have to participate in them. It's one thing to talk about being a man or a woman of faith. It is another thing entirely to walk by faith, to live a life of faith. Sometimes I told Bev coming in, sometimes I feel like I don't know what the right term is, a wannabe, a pretender. See, there are people that live a genuine walk of faith. They live their lives by faith. They don't know where their next meal's coming from. And they're not freaked out. You know what's funny? Your kids are like that. Do you know your kids are not in the least bit concerned about what they're having for lunch today? Not even the tiniest bit concerned. In fact, until they get hungry. But they don't ask you if we're going to have lunch. They say, what are we going to have for lunch? Because they know it's going to happen. It's one thing to call yourself a warrior. It's one thing to call yourself a soldier. That's what the army of Israel claimed. That's who they said they were that day as they faced the valley But it would be another thing entirely to walk into that valley and face the giant. And so you and me, all of us, friends, we're all in these seasons of pop quizzes. And they're doing their work in us, and they are teaching us, and they are preparing us for a Goliath. I hope you get this. Right? People, I don't, you remember sitting in math class going, when are we ever going to use this? Well, guess what? If you didn't go on to anything, you probably never did use it. But if you actually went on to something in life, turns out you needed some of that stuff. God is preparing us for the things that lie ahead, and you need, friends, you just need, I want you to be in the know. Don't make any mistake. There is a Goliath that lies ahead. There is one that lies ahead for us. There's a much greater battle that lies ahead. And it's not a battle that we won't fight with human weapons and with human strength. It's a battle that can't be fought with human weapons and human strength. It just simply won't work. Natural weapons will be irrelevant on that battlefield. What will work on that battlefield is faith and the blood. If you're just paying any attention, just look around. Things are accelerating. God's plan for the end of the age is beginning to come into focus. Our generation, that I don't mean those in my specific generation, but those of us who are alive today, we have seen more change in our government, in our nation, and in our culture than just about any time in history. We've read about the American Revolution. We've studied the Civil War. But today, those two events are converging. And on top of that, our children and our churches are under attack too. We're being hard-pressed from every side. But those who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. Great exploits, Daniel 11:32. Sometimes people say, what are exploits? Exploits are what happened on that battlefield that day when a young boy faced a giant, and the giant died. In the newsletter this week, I made the comment that what we see as suddenlies in our lives, these surprising interventions from heaven, something that happens just all of a sudden, maybe there are things you've been praying for. Maybe there are things that have just happened. But boom, in a moment, they just happen. I want you to know that we see them as suddenlies. We see them as happening very quickly. I want you to know that God does not see them that way at all. See, for what happened for you in just a moment, he'd been working on a long time. In fact, from the foundations of the earth, he's been working the same plan. In fact, he showed the devil the plan pretty much right at the beginning. Here's what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to do it, and here's how it's going to end. And he's still working the plan. I want you to realize that the suddenlies that happen in our lives, these things, they're all part of God's plan. They aren't so much a suddenly, it's just his plan being outworked in your life. Even now, his plan is being woven together in your life. He causes details to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I want you to understand, sometimes people, they think God and coincidence work together. There's no coincidence. God doesn't play with dice. He doesn't go to the roulette table and put it all on black. He knows the outcome before he starts. There is an outcome. And it's being woven together in your lives and in my life right now. There's an expected outcome. There's no surprise. These suddenlies we talk about, they're just waiting for the right moment in time to appear. And they do. I know many of you right now are facing tests in your life. I know you are. Two things. First, please keep in mind these are just pop quizzes. Like, oh my goodness, this is a pop quiz. We're in trouble. It's just a pop quiz. What I mean by that, it carries the same stress maybe as a final, but it doesn't carry the same point value. It doesn't carry the same weight. It's a learning process. These are just pop quizzes. They're intense and they're painful, but the point values are low. With that, though, keep in mind that they indicate a final is coming. So take them seriously. Second, you have everything you need in your possession right now. Everything you need to win the battle, take the victor's crown, and stand on the podium. It's all in your hands. Let me show you something else. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul is going to share with us a moment of great transparency, I believe. This is the great apostle to the church. He says this, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now listen, not that I have already obtained all this. You know what he's saying? I ain't there yet. I ain't made it yet. Haven't arrived yet. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. See, God laid hold of Paul, and violently too, on that road to Damascus. And he took hold of Paul for a purpose. God didn't just say, well, I got nothing else to do. Let's go pick on Paul today. He had a purpose and a plan in Paul. God revealed the things that Paul would suffer and the glories he would see. God revealed his purpose in taking hold of Paul. And Paul recognizes that God has called him. And so he responds, now that God has taken hold of me, I will take hold of that thing for which he did lay hold of me. It was no different in David's life. God had a number of purposes in David's life. Had a lot of things in mind for David. The death of Goliath was one of those things, and it was an important thing. But it would just be one of many purposes God had for him. And friends, surely the call of God precedes the victories in your life. What I'm saying is, first he calls you, then he refines you, and then you see the victories. It would be the same with David. We're reading a victory in chapter 17. If you want to find the call of David, you'll have to go back some years to his earlier boyhood. You go back to the previous chapter. He was called first, and then he faced his Goliath. See, you're all called. Every one of you here, you're called. It's the same with all great men of faith. David, Paul, you. God took hold of them so they could take hold of their call. God has taken hold of us. He's revealed Christ to us. Praise God. He showed you who Jesus is. He did that with a plan and a purpose so that one day you would lay hold of that thing for which he laid hold of you. I just want you to understand. I want your vision to be expanded to understand you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You were called with a purpose, and that purpose is yet to be fulfilled. And so, in the process of this, don't freak out when you have a few pop quizzes in your life. You need to be prepared before you can enter battle. Man, we see a few pop quizzes and we just freak out. Don't let the pop quizzes get you down. Don't let the pop quizzes make you tired. Saint, Christ is being formed in you. That's what's happening to you right now. And look, don't be surprised. People say, I just can't seem to hear God's voice. Why does that surprise you? When is the last time you took a test and the teacher was talking through the whole thing? When you take these tests, the teacher's often very quiet. Don't freak out. The old adage is true. Teacher's silent during the test. Here's the thing. You know the ropes. You have the tools. Physician, heal thyself. You know how to do the stuff. Let's do it. But here's the problem. We know how to do it, but we don't. I know the word, but I won't speak it out. I know what faith is, but I won't live by it. We need to take the next step. Now, I want to show you one more thing. Yikes. Saul has now agreed, we just read it, Saul agreed to let David go, and I think, well, that's not much of a leader to let a young kid go, but whatever. So Saul's agreed to let David go out and fight for Israel. Let's pick up in verse 38 of 1 Samuel 17. And then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, that's Saul's tunic, and put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried to walk around. He was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. With his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. David had rejected Saul's armor. Not because it wasn't good armor. It didn't fit. It would actually be a hindrance to him. I want you to know that God has given each of us armor for the battle that lies ahead, weapons for what lies ahead. You'll find those in Ephesians chapter 6. But I do need you to understand, a sword you can't lift is of no value to you. Armor that you can't bear up under the weight of is of no value to you. What the church needs, what I believe is about to happen, God is about to fit the armor to the church. That means he's going to give you the strength to lift the sword, and he's going to give you armor that fits. Here's what people miss. If you want the belt of truth, that means you've got to be truthful. Doesn't mean you get to be partially truthful. It means you have to be truthful. That's how you buckle the belt. You want the breastplate of righteousness. The only way you're going to strap that on is with righteousness. You want your feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you are going to have to learn, saint, how to walk in peace. You're going to have to learn those things. And so what happens now, what we see is a picture of the spiritual armor actually being fit to us. I'm not struggling under it like David was. See, sometimes people struggle under truthfulness. I just don't know how to be truthful. I struggle with righteousness. I struggle with peace. Okay, relax. Because God is working things in your life to fit the armor to you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I want to relate. Try to close with this. About a year or so ago, the Lord gave me a vision. And I don't know what to call it. I hate churchy terms like that. Wasn't something that I didn't know if I was awake or asleep. I was awake, but I just saw like this film reel running in my mind, like a movie you might watch. And in the vision, an angel came and stood before me. And he reached over his back and he pulled a feather. And it was a long feather. And he handed it to me. And as he handed it to me, it looked like a sword. It was long and it was shiny like a sword. And the bottom piece of it looked like the handle. And as I took it, it was razor sharp. It cut the air almost. And it was light as a feather. It was an interesting picture. And the Lord spoke to me at that time and he said he was going to issue new weapons to his warriors, new armor to his troops. Okay, don't send me emails. I'm not going off on the deep end here. I'm not saying Ephesians 6 isn't important anymore. I'm not saying he's given us new weapons. What's happening, friends, is it's the same weapons. They're being fit to you. Right? The sword that you've never quite been able to handle, you will be able to handle and it will be light in your hand. This armor that you've never really been able to bear up under. See, the reason half the church is running around full of arrows is they don't know how to work the shield of faith. They go to lift it up, but by the time they get it up, they're already full of arrows. You need a shield of faith that you can wield. This isn't a new teaching. I'm not trying to offer you a new teaching. I'm trying to say God is going to fit his children with the armor that they need. I don't know if you've ever considered how soldiers are trained. In most cases, soldiers are trained with just general gear, right? General weaponry. But when they're called to go out to battle, things begin to change. They begin to find a sword they like. They begin to find armor that they like. They begin to find things that work well for them. David that day discarded all of Saul's armor, and he went back to what he knew. He knew the staff, and he knew the sling. And he knew he didn't need to be encumbered with all that stuff. In the end, the soldier will find armor that fits and that works. And the way that armor is going to be fit to you, the way the belt of truth is going to be fit to you, the way that the breastplate of righteousness will be fit to you, the way all these pieces will be fit to you is through use, is through your stepping into them. People say, don't ever ask God for patience. Well, everybody laughs because you know what happens. God isn't going to drop a block of patience in you. He's going to give you opportunities to be patient. Okay, well, the thing is, this is what's going to happen with the weapons. God isn't going to just drop truth in you. He's going to give you opportunities to be truthful. He's not going to just drop righteousness in you. Now, he did give you a righteousness, but there's two kinds of unrighteousness, right? There's the kind he gives you and the kind you live out. If you want that breastplate, you're going to have to learn to live righteously. Yikes. You want to wear the shoes, you're going to have to learn how to walk in peace. Do you understand what that means? That means not taking the sword he gave you and attacking your brother with it. The church seems to get very sidetracked with our armor. We're either polishing it or we're fighting our brothers with it. The intention was to fight the enemy with it. I want you to understand, you have come to the kingdom for such time as this. And I don't say that lightly, it's just I'm not trying to fill time. You have come, you were born for such time as this. God has called you to the battle for such a time as this. Your destiny is in Christ. This is not the time to shrink back. Rather, it's the time to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us. Father, help us today. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who find the armor unwieldy. I pray, Father, for those who find the shield heavy and the sword unmanageable. Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would fit these weapons to us. I pray, Father, you would help us be the men and women that you've called us to be. I pray, Father, you would help us to talk less about faith and walk more faith. I pray, Father, you would help us to face the lions and the bears. I pray, Father, you'd give us insight and understanding so we can truly grasp the difference between a final and a pop quiz. Both are painful. I pray, Father, that you would teach us and guide us and lead us. According to your word, causing all things to work together for good to those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. We do love you, Lord, and I believe we're called according to your purpose. Father, weave these things together and make us the men and women, the company that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.